Whether you're a corporate jet setter or a homeschooling mom of five, this podcast is for you. Because we're all looking for ways to create a more beautiful, peaceful home. We face many challenges in today's try-to-do-it-all culture, the biggest of which is often our budget. But the great news is there are real solutions out there to help us build the life of our dreams. And you're going to find those solutions right here.
You're listening to the Living Rich on Less podcast, where you'll find secrets for living in luxury on a shoestring budget. Here's your host and creator of LivingRichOnLess.com, Susan Penning.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Living Rich on Less podcast. Today, I'll be talking about exactly what I mean by dumpster diving in order to uncover your life's purpose. But before I get started, today's episode is brought to you by the book, The Heart Improvement Project, 5 Steps to Overcoming Obstacles and Building the Life You Crave. In this totally free ebook, you'll find out how to begin to overcome the biggest hurdles in your life. You'll also learn practical ways to beat procrastination for good and live gratefully. And you'll learn more about the topic I'm covering in today's episode, and that is how to find your true calling in life. You can download a copy of this ebook totally and completely free by visiting livingrichonless.com/ebook. Again, that's livingrichonless.com/e-book. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Last weekend, I had the privilege of going with my husband down to alumni weekend at the university we graduated from, which was Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And it was just a wonderful time of reminiscing about the old college days. I also got to visit my sister and brother-in-law while I was down there. They're living down there. And I got to meet up with an old friend of mine, just a real kindred spirit. And we just chatted for a few minutes, and it was just a wonderful time. And it reminded me of some of my early days of thriftiness. I remember with this particular friend, we used to dumpster dive, and I believe she worked at the Pier 1 Imports in Lynchburg, Virginia at the time, and I'm probably implicating her in this podcast, but after hours, if there was something that Pier 1 couldn't sell, back in the day, they used to just kind of put it out back for the dumpster. They couldn't resell it. They couldn't use it for anything, so it quite literally went in the trash. So we were able to score some pretty cool deals on furniture and other accessories that maybe were just slightly damaged, or there was something that we could fix on them, and we took them home, and we were happy to do so. So that was my early days of dumpster diving. Also, you know, when my husband and I were in college at Liberty, we got the biggest thrill out of digging through the trash, quite literally the dumpster trash that students left behind after they vacated campus each summer. And because many of them traveled home via airplane, they weren't able to take the larger items that they had accumulated throughout the years because I'm assuming they didn't want to go to the trouble or the expense of having to ship the items home. So needless to say, their loss was our gain. Our dumpster diving excursions at Liberty yielded treasures like a Nintendo gaming system. I think it was a Nintendo 64, so that kind of dates me a bit, but there were like 10 games included with this Nintendo 64. We also got a like new microwave and mini fridge. We confiscated a vacuum cleaner, and we even got various furniture pieces and kitchen gadgets. So although I don't do a lot of dumpster diving anymore, I think my kids would probably disown me if I did, I am still always on the lookout for thrifty items. A few months ago, I literally rescued a chair from the side of the road, and it's gorgeous. It's sitting in my living room. And I just found a piece of wood out back that was under a pile of leaves. My husband moved it over to the firewood pile, and I rescued it. And I'm working on creating a family mission statement, which I'll be placing on that found piece of wood. So stay tuned for details on that on my blog. The point is, I've always sort of been on the lookout for treasures in trash. And, you know, in the same way that my husband and I bravely dove through those college dumpsters all those years ago, we all need to do a little soul rummaging now and then to uncover the treasures inside us that should be cultivated and should be contributed to the world. And this is what I'm going to be talking about primarily today. Now, doing some dumpster diving of the heart, so to speak, it requires us to sift through some nitty-gritty details of our lives, searching for any clues that we can find that will help reveal our passions and our purposes. I'm not telling you anything new here. Our days are numbered on this planet. That's a fact. And with that knowledge, you know, most of us would agree that we want to make the greatest impact possible while we're here. And we don't really want to waste a lot of time or resources headed in the wrong directions. I personally believe that God created each of us for a divine purpose, and He gives us skills, abilities, and desires that are meant to work together to fulfill a master plan that is unique to each of us. We are treasures with the capability of making a mark on the world that no one else can make in quite the same way. I love the entire chapter of Psalm 139 because it reiterates how special we are to God and how He longs for us to experience truly blessed lives. And specifically, Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16 say, "When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, You knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in Your book before any of them ever began." Here's the key. If we actively seek ways to use our God-given skills, abilities, and desires to accomplish a greater purpose, then we have the opportunity to experience immense joy, peace, and fulfillment in our lives. And I can tell you firsthand that this works. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, many of you probably share my beliefs on the subject of sacred purpose, and perhaps many of you do not. But regardless, you could be wandering around reacting to life right now, lacking a sense of usefulness and the fruits of joy and peace in your life. Why? Well, let's explore the possibility that your calling, so to speak, is eluding you because you haven't yet discovered how to collectively or appropriately use your talents. Maybe you don't even know what they are. And in that case, you really need to look into the dumpster diving of the heart that I'm talking about. So how do we find our purpose? When we take the time to reflect on some of our life experiences in the past, we can uncover a lot of useful pieces of information. Did you know that your true calling has most likely revealed itself in smaller, unobtrusive moments throughout your life that you probably have previously overlooked or ignored? You may have even been dropped hints about your calling as a child. Unfortunately, today's societal model teaches us that true success and happiness can only be found through money. In other words, we should earn enough to buy whatever we want, and or notoriety. In other words, we should hold a position of prominence and importance and get recognized by lots of people. So most of us mistakenly buy into the notion, and I'm included in this, that our purpose in life should accomplish one, if not both, of these goals. Again, those goals are either making money or holding a position of importance or prominence, or both. Ironically, the opposite may be true with regard to your calling. Your divine calling, the one that will offer you the deepest sense of joy, peace, and satisfaction, may not be the occupation that earns you the most money or the standout achievement that gives you the most public accolades. In fact, it may not ever generate a single red cent or produce any plaques or awards or fancy titles of recognition. To dive deeper and explore exactly what your divine calling might be, I'm going to ask you to answer the following questions. And of course, you can answer them in your head as you're listening to this podcast, But a more effective method might be to go ahead and get the worksheet, which includes the question and then a few lines after it for you to answer. And you can get the worksheet by visiting my website, livingrichonless.com, downloading a copy of the ebook, and check chapter 3, do some dumpster diving. The worksheets are included with that chapter. Okay, question number 1. What have I accomplished that has made me feel significant? And the key word here is significant. Not what have I accomplished that has made me happy, or what have I accomplished that has been fun, but what have I accomplished that has made me feel significant or important? And just to give you a few examples from my own life, getting married, having my 2 beautiful children, joining and leading the praise team at our church, starting a blog and a podcast, and leading a team of writers as editor while I was in the Air Force. These are all examples of accomplishments in my life that have made me feel truly significant. So I know then that these examples are going to give me clues as to what sort of things would be following my purpose in life. Being a good wife and a mother, contributing my musical talents in some way, helping others through writing and speaking, and leading a team. These are all things that probably will align in some way with my purpose. And this is also a good opportunity to bring up the fact that your purpose is probably not going to be one singular activity. Rather, it's probably going to be more of a combination of activities that will give you sort of the most joy and fulfillment in your life and also allow you to contribute in the best way to the world. Question number 2. What projects or moments have brought me joy and satisfaction? For me, going on a mission trip to Guatemala and helping to lead the music in Spanish was one of those experiences that I will never forget. I think of it often, and it just brings me so much joy and satisfaction. That's one thing. Doing musical performances, playing the piano and guitar and singing, brings me a lot of joy. Helping a team meet a goal that was pretty lofty, maybe a goal that no one thought we could reach or meet. Getting feedback from my blog readers and my podcast listeners. And by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Marty, who left me a review on iTunes. Marty said, "Wow, very insightful and helpful." Thank you very much, Marty, for taking the time to go in there to iTunes and leave me a review. It means so much to me. So these are a few things, or I should say a few projects or moments that have brought me personal joy and satisfaction. I would encourage you when you're answering this question that you try to be as specific as possible. Okay, next question. Question number 3. What have I been praised for? Me personally, I have been praised for my ability to lead a team, to be driven and goal-oriented and accomplish goals as a result. I have on occasion been praised for my musical performances and for my writing and speaking skills. So you, if you're listening, you can start to see that there's a pattern developing here, that there are things that are overlapping in multiple questions, and that's what you want to look for. Question number 4, how would I like to make a difference in the world? And this is a very deep question and probably one that you're going to have to spend some real time thinking about. Without going too deep, I would like to make a difference in the world by helping others be the best version of themselves. I want to raise my children with the confidence and the ability to literally change the world. And with regard to my faith, I want my life to be a demonstration of how God can work and transform people. I'd like to be able to make a significant financial contribution to a needy organization. You know, I do tithe to my church and try to give where I can, but I have a dream to be able to do something big, to maybe team up with a mission organization and help in a larger way at some point. Question number 5. What causes or situations have moved me emotionally, compelling me to take action? And again, this is a pretty deep question. For me, just off the top of my head, I would say, you know, just again, going back to the mission trips I've taken, I really have a heart for people in underdeveloped countries. I have a heart for just ministering to people through music. So I know those are two big situations that move me emotionally and compel me to take action. Question number 6, what do I want people to say about me at my funeral? Whew, what a question. This is actually a question that I believe is asked in Michael Hyatt's free ebook, Creating Your Own Life Plan. And if you don't already follow Michael Hyatt's podcast, I would certainly encourage you to do so. And also head on over to his blog at michaelhyatt.com and pick up a copy of that ebook. It is tremendous. It's all about how to build your own life plan. And it really does fit in nicely with the podcast topic today. So what do I want people to say about me at my funeral? Well, I want them to say that they'll miss me, that I lived my life very intentionally, that I invested in people more than projects, that I demonstrated God's love, that I helped them or made them laugh, that I inspired everyone I met to seek God and be the best versions of themselves. That is a heavy question. So that kind of wraps up the umbrella of evaluating our lives to look for clues for our divine purpose. Next, I want to explore patterns of opportunity. And this is where we recall situations when doors easily opened for us. The question you want to ask here is, when was I called upon as a subject matter expert or asked for advice on a topic? When people come to you and they ask for your help, what areas are they asking for help in? That will give you a clue as to where your strengths lie. For me personally, sometimes I will get asked for advice on home improvement, which really tickles me. I love giving advice on home improvement projects or helping out with home improvement projects. Occasionally, I will get asked for advice regarding someone's personal problems, or I might even get asked for advice if somebody's preparing to do some public speaking, something of that nature, or even writing something. They'll ask me to edit their piece. So you can kind of see again where there are some patterns developing with this question and the questions that I previously asked. Another clue that will help you discover your divine calling is to look for time sinks. Did you know that when you're involved in activities that fulfill your calling and offer you feelings of purpose and significance, the hours can easily slip away? So the question you want to ask here is, what could I do for a long time without paying attention to the clock? I know for me, home improvement projects, I could do those for hours on end. I do get weary after I'm finished with a particular project. I usually like to take a little bit of a break and clean my house, because usually in the process of doing the project, the entire house goes to complete chaos. So I'll spend maybe a week or two doing that. But fairly quickly, I get the itch again to try another home improvement project. And this has just been a pattern in my life that's repeated over and over again. So I know that that's something I enjoy. And as a result of all the time I've spent doing it, it's also something I'm getting sort of good at. So going back to the question, of course, I could do home improvement projects for hours and hours on end and not pay attention to the clock and notice how much time has gone by. Working on my blog is another thing I could easily spend hours on without realizing how long it's been. Music, just when we go to practice on Thursday evenings, the hours just slip away when we're just jamming and having a good time, praising God and just learning the music that we're going to be doing for Sunday morning worship. So what could you do for a long time without paying attention to the clock? That's one of these questions that is going to give you a clue into your strengths, your desires, and ultimately lead you to an activity that is probably smack dab in the middle of your calling. Okay, the last topic I want to dive into a little bit is assess your natural talents, skills, and strengths. Explore the activities and the projects that have come easily to you over the years. And this is an important topic to dig into, because you may find that you've been surprised throughout your life that certain situations and projects and activities that seemed difficult for other people were totally simple and easy for you, and you couldn't really understand why. This is one really big clue into your calling. The things that seem to be difficult for other people but come easily to you. So the question that you need to be asking under this topic is, what do I seem to be good at doing that other people might not be as good at doing? Okay, so I realized I asked a lot of questions in this particular podcast. That's why I would encourage you to go ahead and head over to my website at livingrichonless.com/ebook. And that way you can download a copy and get the worksheets so you can take the time and fill these out and see your answers. Because what you're going to want to do is look back at all the answers to these questions and look for intersecting opportunities, patterns, because when you're choosing future jobs and projects, you're going to want to be discerning and consider only the opportunities that complement those answers. And I realize this is not always possible, but whenever it is possible, that's what you need to do. And if you do that, you're going to be well on your way to finding and following that path to your divine purpose, the purpose that's going to bring you the most fulfillment and joy in your life. Now, before I close out this episode, I wanted to cover the topic of, what do you do when you need to make some money, but you're not sure you can find a job using your calling? And I'm sure that this is a popular problem that folks have. So what do we do when we're dealing with the fact that we're in a job where we don't feel like we're fulfilling our purpose at all, but we really don't have any options? Well, the first thing I would encourage you to do is get yourself a copy of the book Quitter by John Acuff. In my opinion, it is one of the best guides in how to sort of move away from the areas that aren't within your calling and move toward the jobs and the areas that are within your calling, and how to do it gracefully and in a time-appropriate way. And so if you haven't already read that book, go get yourself a copy. It really, truly is probably one of the best roadmaps with step-by-step directions in how to get from where you are to where you want to go. Secondly, I would encourage you to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And yes, I realize that's a cliche. I actually cover this concept in chapter 2 of my ebook. It's titled Love Your Kitchen Sink. And the reason I focus so much on this concept of gratitude, just to share a personal story with you, about 2 years ago, I started to feel just this tugging on my heart that it was probably time for me to leave my current job, and I really truly felt called to move into another area of my life, kind of close that chapter and start a new one. The problem was, I spent that last year as I transitioned out of that job and into a new career, so to speak, I really didn't cultivate that attitude of gratitude. I spent a lot of time complaining. I spent a lot of time gossiping. And these are things in hindsight that I truly regret. Now that I work from home and I work primarily alone, you know, I miss those relationships with people. There were things that I really wish I had cherished more. And so just, I would encourage that to be a lesson to you. If you're in a job situation that you aren't the happiest with, you're ready to move on, but you're in that limbo period, really look for the opportunities and the situations that you can be grateful for, and just count your blessings every single day, because I guarantee, regardless of whether or not you love your job or you hate your job, there are aspects of it that you can certainly be grateful for, if nothing more than the pay or the benefits. Lastly, get creative. And what I mean by this is, look for situations, opportunities, activities that you can get involved with, perhaps outside of work, that do fit into your calling. Volunteer activities. The music that I do for our church is a complete volunteer activity. I do not get paid in any way for that monetarily. So look for opportunities there to cultivate your calling. And in addition to that, dig deep into your current position, your current job, wherever you are, and glean out those spots that are within your calling. For example, perhaps my last job was not exactly where I wanted to be, but there were a lot of portions of it. There were aspects of it that did fit within my calling. There were some creative opportunities. There were some opportunities where I spoke with people and helped to teach and educate folks. That was certainly within my calling. So In addition to cultivating that attitude of gratitude, look for, even if it's the minuscule ways, look for the ways that your current job does fulfill portions of your calling. And while you're, you know, reading John Acuff's book and preparing for your transition, you can count your blessings for the portions of your job that are within your calling. And then you can also look for volunteer or perhaps even part-time opportunities to continue to cultivate your calling and expand your life into that area. You may have to work hard off the clock in order to live your dream. And John Acuff covers this more in his book. Now, I realize, you know, some of these tips probably seem pretty simple and perhaps even trite. You know, I don't claim to be an expert in this area, and I'm sure we could spend an entire podcast talking about just the subject of how to move from point A to point B and get closer to your calling. But hopefully, in some way, this particular episode helped you to perhaps move in the right direction and get some clarity as far as what is your purpose and where should you go from here to get a little closer to it. I know personally, with each year I'm alive, I am more aware and more intentional about the choices that I make in my career, in my home life, in my ministry, because I'm becoming even more aware that this is not a dress rehearsal. We only get one chance at life, and we don't know how long that's going to be. And that's why I'm so passionate about this idea of living out your purpose. And I hope you feel just as strongly about seeking out and living out your own purpose. So on that note, I think that is ample opportunity for me to go ahead and close out today's episode. If this has been helpful to you in some way, I certainly hope that you'll consider leaving me a rating and a review on iTunes. And before I close, I do want to mention the next episode, we are going back to the Living Rich on Less roots, and we are going to be discussing the pros and cons of the thrifty, do-it-yourself lifestyle. And I say we because if the stars align, it looks like I'm going to have a very special guest joining me. It's an author. I'll give you that hint, and that's all I'm going to share, but you definitely won't want to miss it. So until next time, thank you so much for giving me your time and listening to this podcast. And remember, you are more than the number in your bank account, and you have what it takes right now to create the life of your dreams.
You've been listening to the Living Rich on Less podcast with Susan Penning. For more decorating, organizing, and home and life improvement strategies, visit livingrichonless.com.